Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening and tuning in to the 20th episode of Wheel Travel, the podcast. I am incredibly sorry to tell you that the next hour and a half of audio sounds horrible. We had a little technical difficulty here, and it sounds really bad. But the content's great, and I hope you listen. Sorry about that. We'll get our act together, I promise.
Another edition of Wheel Travel, the podcast, number 20. Actually, made it. I'm here now with none other than Joshua Cobb, who's looking at me with fear in his eyes because I started this a little bit early. No warning, no nothing. Just jumped in. Good morning, Josh.
I'm still trying to get my pages up. Only time I get everything ready to go, and you're going to start the show.
Yeah, I actually started. Absolutely, I did. Absolutely. We're on the clock, as they say. What are you doing? What's up? What's happening? Where you been? What's going on?
I've been hiding.
Oh, sorry. And Vinny's here.
I've been hiding, waiting for more cars to start. I'm going to make contact with everybody.
Interior queer.
Yeah, pretty much.
I cannot wait. I am so excited. Finally, the real motorcycle racing starts. Finally. Supercross is just the warm-up for motocross. But anyway, yes, it starts this weekend. Hangtown could not be more excited. We will spend it in the backseat of the dually watching it while Jeff drives to
Mississippi.
We are headed to the border area of Louisiana and Mississippi. And speaking of motocross, we will be doing nothing other than hanging out at Kevin Windham's house.
Is he going to be there, or is he going to be at Hangtown?
No, he's building the jumps. He's building the jumps that Travis is going to hit.
I thought you were going
to say that. Okay, so the biggest part of doing that stuff is, and Hubert, last time I talked to him, didn't know if he was going to be there, but the biggest part of this deal is moving the dirt around. That takes the most amount of time.
Right.
So Hubert can come in and finish it. Get the right angles, get the right lift, get the right takeoff, get the right whatever. So I don't know whose responsibility is what, but Kevin was on the email list of, on the list of things that were happening. And
can you forward that to me?
Sure, but his address. I can't trust you with that.
I would delete that off.
Yeah, for sure.
Is that his phone number?
I'll delete all the pertinent information. It should not be on there.
I don't know what the schedule is.
Jeff has his address.
Oh, that's Jeff. Jeff can give it to me. I just got to show him a picture of some boobs.
Jeff had to eat it and destroy it. You'd have to get, what do they call it, secondhand, if you will, or reclaimed.
I didn't even get to finish the other half of my sandwich.
Well, go ahead. I'm
not saying it. Well, that's disrespectful to the audience.
So, what's up, Vinny? Vinny has been so nervous lately. And I think it's because there's a lot of activity and we keep coming and going. So, last time we were getting ready for Silver State.
Uh-huh.
And Silver State was an absolute mess. It was what an off-road race should be. It had washes and elevation changes and dust and night sections. Why did you ever get an explanation from Best in the Desert why we started at 2:15 in the afternoon? You went off the line at 2:15. They started the big guys at 1:00. They started staging at 11:00. What the hell? I mean, Donald, I love you to death. Liz, you're my girl. I had a big crush on her. She looks just like that girl from Scooby-Doo. Which I grew up kind of
Velma or Daphne?
It would have to be Belmont, I think.
I don't know which one's
the redhead. Which one's the redhead?
I don't know.
I don't know. If there was only a box in front of me,
the problem is in like different Scooby Doos, they switch.
Never.
Oh yeah.
That did not happen.
No. In like their names all switch, but their hair color did.
Well, sure, that's any girl, but if you're talking about like there was one episode where the ghost put a curse on him and Velma became Daphne, and Daphne became Velma.
I think that did happen.
Yeah, I'm sure. I can see that happen.
But that happened in the movie, actually. But they didn't become each other. I think one became like Fred, and the other one was Shaggy, and they all switched around, and the guys were the girls, and the girls were the guys.
Well, that's happening in life, too.
Yeah.
That's happening in life.
Yes.
Did you know that Caitlyn Jenner has completed the transformation? Penis gone.
Yeah,
the JJ implants.
How?
They got the PP and turned it inside out and stick it up inside you.
Might as well just
go for a stone.
Might as well just, you know, make a little cut, you know, and insert like a tube sock or something.
I'll let that one be, but did you know that it happened? Because there was so much to do about the boobs and the change and the all that other stuff, but there hasn't been much talk about.
I don't want to talk about that.
No, I don't either, but think about the media today all over. I mean, I guess Trump has just monopolized all the media time.
Oh my God, considering our talking about Trump taking over the media time. So,
was that yesterday? Not with California?
Yeah.
So yeah, nice job. Get up, leave, home by 2 p.m.,
yeah.
Go to California and back, drop off parts, come back.
Yes.
Nice job. That was impressive.
I spent a total of, like...
Holy dust devil.
Yeah, that was big.
How big is that scorpion?
No, that was huge today. That was the biggest scorpion I've ever seen.
It was big. It needed a sap.
Yeah. So, anyway, I turn on the radio, right, and I finally get something. I'm out in the middle of the desert,
right,
going through the mountains. And it's like, it's talking about how, what's his wife's name?
Melania Trump.
Yeah. It's talking about how she's in the hospital right now, she's undergoing a surgery or something like that. I was like,
yeah, she's been benign, something in her kidneys.
Yeah. So, I didn't want to hear that.
Kidney cancer has to suck.
It can't be cured.
But, I mean, tumors alone in your,
you
in your kidney.
Do you want to force anything? You mean I'm getting to finish
myself. Oh, you'll get to finish it.
So, anyway, I hit seek, you know,
scale
for the next functioning channel, and guess what they're talking about?
Melania's kidneys?
Yes. Bingo. Hit C again. Go to the next channel. What are they talking about?
Trump's take on Melania's kidneys.
Well, and that was on the fourth one, but yeah, they were, you know, I circled around, all the way around, just kept hitting C.
Were you on A or F?
F them.
Huh. Normally, I don't know where you don't get talk radio FM. I see AM. Where were you?
What area? Coming into India or whatever.
Oh, 29 miles?
Sure, yeah.
Once you go through the California desert, that first thing you come to is 29 miles.
Yeah, heading up through 29 miles.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's interesting. I mean, with being a large military base, I wonder if that's why there's a lot of talk radio there.
That I have never heard. So much gospel music. And like Christian.
Did you feel empowered? Did you feel energized?
So empowered. So empowered that I pulled onto the street in the box van after getting gas, backed it up like 100 yards down the street because no one was coming out. I was going to block people from. So there's like three lanes, two open lanes, you know, go straight or turn right. And then the left lane was pretty packed. And there was no one coming, so I pulled out.
I needed to be in the left lane, in the left turn lane. And, yeah, back to Boston, like 100 yards down the street. And then I just pulled in right behind the next car.
And there were some people that were not happy about that.
But it's California. And
that seemed like a good move.
I love it.
I thought that was very respectful of their place in line. And, well, they're not happy unless they're judging somebody for something.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, and you're white.
I am white.
You're the blue-eyed dad. Mm-hmm. As Adam Carolla says.
I'm pretty much like the second Hitler according to California.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Well, good. Good for you. Get some people off of it. You're very shy. What's up with that?
I'm excited for motocross.
We've only talked about it like 10 times today.
Okay, so let's go back. So Silver Snake 300. How was the course?
Just like almost every other, that's the other course. Was pretty boring.
Boring?
Boring.
Not like every other best of the course. I mean, like, Silver State, Vegas, Reno, they're boring races.
How can you say that Silver State is boring?
It's Silver State.
It's up, down, around, 2,700 turns, silt, don't get stuck, lots of blind drop-offs, lots of two-track washes, a lot of beautiful scenery. How is that race boring?
There's a lot of just going straight. A lot of it.
You ever thought of it?
Yeah, a little bit, but you know.
Two people got that.
But, I mean, like, in the washes, really fun. Going through the silt, really fun.
I had some great footage of Travis from the helicopter in the wash.
Really?
Yeah, it's outstanding. They do look fun.
Any helicopter footage of me?
No helicopter footage of you. I have lots of ground footage of you. I have your jump.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, it's not as good as when you came off the track.
Yeah.
And said, Dad, my feet were my feet. My tires were 10 feet in the air if they were one. Well, they were one.
Really?
Yeah.
Even ask Alex. He sailed that thing.
You flew for a great distance right into the face of the next one. And the truck handled remarkably well.
Yeah. When we came down, I thought it was going to be much worse than that.
Yeah, I could have seen. Yeah, I think of that Jason Voss qualifying video where he plows the front nose and it flies off.
Yeah.
That's what I could see going through your head as you were sailing through the air. I could definitely see that. But in fact, it just soaked it right up and it took it.
Yeah, and we thought that we were, you know, halfway off the course, not in. We were all the way in the course because that truck's only about 3 feet wide.
Okay, so far, you have not Best in the Desert, and now you're docking the company that you own 24/7.
I'm not knocking it.
They're only 3 feet wide. They're very negative.
It's not bad.
You should listen to more gospel music.
This is bad. You know what? I'm negative because I had to go to California.
Because motocross came off?
Because, yeah, it's not on yet. And I don't mind, like, driving through California.
It's once you're in?
It's once you're in.
Well, that's why I thought this would be a good one for you to take because of the fact that you really didn't have to go in.
No, this one was LA. This one was great. It's one road the whole time.
Yeah, we're going to enjoy it on Friday when you go back and pick up the parts that are finished.
Yeah, but you're gonna have to make that stop on your way home for looking at that Vegas truck.
No, I'm going tomorrow and I'll be back. I'm gonna do the same thing, be back by 2. That's my goal. I gotta drop 2 motors off at the Wixter and look at a truck and then jet back. For Mr. Joe Fitos. Joe in the news. Joe,
he's buying that truck.
Well,
we'll see. If it
looks good, there,
yeah.
Yeah, says he wants it. So he had a blast, and he's good. I talked to Scott. We had a rental customer, Joe Fitos, out of Florida, that, first of all, it was really weird that he flew in just by himself. You know, most of the time these people come, and they rent a truck, and they've got, you know, they're worried because they have too many people that want to get into the truck. So we're going to stop every 48 feet and put someone else in the driver's seat, you know, Joe shows up alone. And, you know, he
which is the golden ticket for us.
Well, for us and him. I mean, how cool. It was his experience. And he said that. He goes, fine, I'm doing it for me. You know? So, and he worked his ass off for the money. And he, you know, that's cool. It's just weird. It's just different. You know?
Yeah,
it's
we haven't had that yet.
So, anyway, he comes from Florida, shows up alone to Vegas. We go out, we go testing. He kills it. And I mean that in a good way. During testing on Thursday, we go to contingency. It was hot on contingency day. He sucked it up like a champ. And then Saturday, he did exceptionally well. He had one off-camber corner that bit him in the ass, where he got the truck up on the side. But unfortunately, when they did that, they hurt the air filter. They tore a hole in it, and it sucked some dirt. So by pit four, which was, 160 miles or something like that, they had eaten up a motor from ingesting too much silt. But, I can't imagine that too many parts of that are salvageable. But anyway, he had a blast, and he's good. He's going to be competitive quickly. I expect another Jim Rossi type of deal.
Yeah.
He's the right co-driver. Right, co-driver, a couple of miles under his belt, and relax a little bit, and all of a sudden, you know, shit's working out.
Finally know what the truck's going to do.
Yeah. How about Travis? Oh, Travis Williams, another real customer. This is his second race in a row running. Came in, we lost him a place in pit two. He came in second, and he left in third.
How did you get mad at that?
Well, if you ask Jim Rossi, we're really slow at pitting. But there was actually a couple of little things that we had to do on the truck and a couple of adjustments that he wanted made and stuff like that. We got him out third. He chases down, Brad again. Stays with it all the way into four. We ended up losing they had a drive line disintegrate on them. Shrapnel going in front of the truck. Like, they could see things in the dust, like, poofing up where shrapnel had exploded in front of the truck. And it ended up cracking the bell housing and all that kind of stuff. So we put in a new tranny at 4, and by 6, by 5, they were done. And as it turns out, the converter got damaged in the explosion, and they were showing up. That's all showing up. So they were probably fine. But he was in the hunt all day.
Yeah, well, that's a competitive truck.
And a competitive driver.
Yeah,
that kid is good.
Yeah.
And he's going to be really good. He seems to have the one thing about a trophy like cornering, they work very, very well in the rough stuff if you haven't messed with the suspension, Chris Wardle. they work really well in the rough. Cornering is the key to going fast in a trophy lane, and those guys figured it out day one, and it's pretty impressive. But so let's talk about that. So Trophy Light had 14 trucks show up,
yes,
which 14. Was absolutely awesome.
We beat the 10 cars.
Yeah, we had more Trophy Lights than 10 cars. That was really, really cool.
On a 10-car course.
That was a 10-car course. You're absolutely right. Anyway, that was cool. We had some great racing. We had no drama, no whiners. Everybody came out, had a great time, helped each other. It was bitching. I just absolutely had a great time. So Ryan Winter starts in the back and works his way up to the front, as they have done a lot this year. And Bragg has become the rock of the class. He is just as stable as the day is long, and I think he's pulling a Jason Anderson right now, where he's just like, okay, Craig Smith no shows. I'm sitting out here alone. I'm just going to protect this lead and be Mr. Consistent. And I'll tell you what, watching his team at pit two and watching his team at pit four, they have a plan, and they're really, really good at what they do. And hats off to them. I mean, they've worked hard for this, and they're kicking ass. He will get a win this year, but right now he's in such a position where it doesn't matter. I mean, if he just keeps doing what he's doing, three seconds or a third and two seconds. One
that's right. Rossi got ended up. Rossi beat him by a second.
Yes. And so now here comes Joe Rossi into the picture, who has figured his truck out. And we knew he was going to haul ass. All the videos that I saw of him, he was moving every time I saw a film clip of him or something like that. It was just putting the pieces together. And I think he gets a little ramped up, you know. You can just kind of see it in the nature of him. I haven't seen him run yet. That's just me doing the math. But fantastic job. Corey Winter did a fantastic job. Elliott Slaughter.
Corey Winter was running away with it until the settlement.
And then what happened?
And then he got stuck.
Did he really?
Yeah.
He was one of the five or whatever that was sitting in the settlement. So I guess the silt was just phenomenal. I have some crazy pictures of trucks and silt beds, which is pretty remarkable. What happened for me? Ends up having some dramatic footage of all the
upside down.
He was that the same spot that took out Joe Pitos? Was it the exact same corner? There was a tree just like it in the picture.
I didn't want to see the picture of Joe.
Okay. Anyway, so same off-camera corner, they kind of charge over it, and all of a sudden the road goes to the right, and it dips off to the left.
I saw the pictures of Joe. No, that was a
different spot.
Okay.
Okay. Chris Morrow finishing fourth, and they're starting to figure that truck out. That guy has put some dramatic thought into the points and what he needs to do in his game plan, and you know how Vegas Torino factors into it, and Tonopah and Laughlin, and you know, I guess Tonopah's not in it this year, but Trump. And so there's some really fun, exciting thought going into it. Who else was in the race? What was the results? Give us the placing.
So your top three was Winter, who came from the back and won again, and then Rossi and Bragg, and pull up the race results right now. Again, did you let me have all my stuff?
Yeah, I thought you would have kept working while we were talking. I tried to give you a big lead in.
I was telling a story.
Yeah, a lot of them. You're chatty cat. Sorry, Kathy. Yeah, I don't mean to offend. That's not derogatory. A little bit. Ooh, all right, Kathy, you can knock. So while you're doing that, I'm going to give you... All right.
Okay. So, Winter Rossi Bragg, Chris Wardle, Jared Lane.
How about that? First race in a new truck.
Yes, top five.
And that's, you know, it's a great truck. That's Lewis Chamberlain's old truck. And they pull off a top five right there.
And then us. And then Corey Winter. And then Wyatt Murray. And then, John Slott. Is that the dad?
John is the dad. That's an excellent showing for those guys. He's starting to figure that out.
And then Travis Williams, DNF. Larry Smeager, DNF. Trevor Harvey, DNF. Joe Fito, DNF. And now it's Bobby, DNF.
Okay, so check this out. Gene Aston, who handles the Trophy Light website, and handles, he's the one that designed and built the point system this year. He's had a lot of input on what we're doing. He's a great guy, and he's a huge part of what we do over here at Trophy Light. He put this little stat sheet together, and some of these numbers are pretty impressive. Check this out. So, in 2016, at Parker, there were 12 entries, okay, and there was a 75% finishing ratio. In 2017, there were 15 entries, went up three, and there was 11 finishers for a 73% finishing ratio. Okay. 2018, we tied the all-time record with entries at 17, but 14 finishers, 82%. Okay, now he's counting to the draft players, but they,
that counts, that's not finished.
So 2016 at the men, okay, 16 trucks, right? 14 finishers for 88%. In 2017, that dipped down. There were 16 starters and 11 finishers for 69%. This year, 17 out of 18 finished, all-time entry record, 17 out of 18 with a 94% finishing ratio.
Wow.
Right? So, then we go to Silver State, which was in 2016.
It wasn't 16.
I think it was 15?
Yeah.
Was the last? Okay, so what was the third race then? Oh, so that would have been Laughlin.
Laughlin.
Okay, so you can't really compare these numbers as well, because Laughlin 89% finish, and they had 9 entries. And then in 2017 at Laughlin, 13 entries. And this year at Silver State, we had 14 entries, but only 9 finished. So that was 64%. But so far, the first three races of the year, in 2016, 71.23% finished. In 2017, 73.53, it jumped up 2%. And in 2018, this year, 81.63% finishing ratio this year. And there's 7 new truck owners in the class. So I think that really speaks volumes as to the quality of these trucks, the quality of the class, and the quality of the effort that guys are putting into them. I'm not saying that the guys in the past didn't put that effort in, but we have 7 new owners who are hungry, anxious, excited about it. They get out there at night and they work on their truck in the garage. Or you've got guys, you know, teams coming in like the Fat Tech guys that have a full-time staff to work on the trucks.
Yeah.
So it's getting more professional for sure. It's getting
and what the cool part is?
What's that?
Is the guys that are in the garage, you know, working on their trucks after they get home from work,
yep,
they're running the top 3. I know Bragg.
Well, that's the great thing about Trophy Light, is they have the exact same chance, regardless of what money was spent on prepping the cars, they have the exact same chance when the green flag flies that the guy who has the full-time staff.
Yep.
And that's awesome. You can't say that about any other class in off-road racing right now. And that's really, really cool and really exciting. So, Silver State won overall. Who won overall? Was it Jason? Did Jason run away with it? I know zero about the race, which is amazing considering how much of a fan of the sport I am.
Justin Nash.
Is that right? In the four-wheel drive truck. That makes sense. Could you not see that being a four-wheel drive course?
Yes.
All the corners, all the sill, all the ruts.
Yeah, I guess.
For sure. For sure. That's badass. Good for him.
Second?
Yeah.
Tracy Graff.
Okay. Justin Bean was in the concrete truck for Kevin, right?
No, that was
Harley Lettner.
Lettner was.
Okay, so Bean was probably in the truck with Tracy. I'm not saying, I was just trying to figure out if that was all Tracy, which was going to be even more impressive. Because Bean has been driving Minzy's truck or something at San Felipe.
No, yeah. Minzy's truck.
Okay, so, and then who was third?
Third being Brett Serapis.
Good for him. And Brett's in the Hertz Coors Light truck?
Yes.
Okay. The Silver Bullet?
Yes.
All right, and fourth?
Johnny Engel.
Good race for him. Another four-wheel drive truck?
Yes.
So, that makes sense.
Steve Olegas.
Wow.
Ken Thompson, which is really Harley Lettner.
Harley Lettner.
Tony Smiling.
Gotta be their best finish.
Yeah.
The Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tony Smiling.
Yeah.
Which is Tyler Sean Kroll.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Mark Kroll can drive.
Sean
Kroll can drive. And his brothers. But Sean is badass. I've always liked that kid. Tremendous. Tremendous talent, incredibly humble, has the Eisenhowers, as buddies, and they all kind of work together. And I know Chris rides in that truck, and that's all good stuff, man, right there. So, anything else?
Corey Howell.
What was the first Class 1 car?
It went about third in church.
Okay.
I love my my class right now. Like, I get an overall.
Yeah, let's look at an overall, because I'm going to ask you about
the first 6100 and the first Class 1. All right. So, Mountie, wow. And then the Gilbert racing car.
That was the class winner?
Yes, with Lad Gilbert and Sean Gilbert.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Good for them.
Hey, third in trick truck, though. Not only, it wasn't like a, hey, these guys broke, so they won. I mean, these guys were on it.
Good for them. That's awesome. They're good. They're a great team.
And the next Class 1 car got ninth. And that would be Pat Dean. What is a Bunders?
It's a chassis. It's got Kevin Bunders and all race cars.
The thing is, this car is long. It's longer than the average Class 1 car. And that gets rid of it. Alright. For 6100 trucks, your guess, Scott's.
Overall?
Yeah.
Overall, because the buggies, I think, did well, so that's going to drop them back a few points. Four-wheel drive trucks doing well, and then the regular players. I still haven't heard you say boss. I'm going to go with 30th overall.
14th overall.
Wow! Who was it?
Corey Terry.
I'm sorry?
Corey Terry in the 6189 truck.
Corey Terry. Oh, yeah, of course. Corey Terry.
Yeah. Terry's auto body. That's the FabTech truck.
Wait a minute. FabTech won Trophy Light and 6100?
Yeah.
Good for... Well, then I should have heard of him, but good for them. I wish Barry would go drive that car instead of the Trophy Light.
No kidding. is all I can say. Alright, do you want to finish 15th?
15th overall?
Yeah.
That's got to be Class 10.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow. 15th overall. How would it have done in Class 1?
It would have gotten a third in Class 1.
Third. On the podium in Class 1.
On the podium in Class 1.
15th overall, and who was it?
Brock Eater.
Wow.
Yeah. Would have gotten third in Class 1, but that's also starting behind all the 6200 trucks, all the 6200 trucks, the 7200 trucks.
6200 buggies?
Yeah.
How many were there? Is that Class 1?
There was like 5 or 6.
Good for them.
I know Bro has them.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I think they turned their Class 1 into 62.
Okay. And then, UTVs, how far up was the first UTV? That's good. Keep counting.
Oh, that is not good.
It's not good for Trophy Light, or
it's not good for Trophy Light.
Okay.
28th overall.
28? That's, you know what? Honest to God, I'm not making excuses. That's a UTV four-wheel drive.
For sure it is.
Of course.
For sure it is. All the washes and the cell. Oh, for sure.
We eat them up at the minute. They eat us up at Silver State. We know that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no surprise going in. So, one last thing on the Trophy Light thing. Gene just sent me over the total for the points. Ryan Winter is at the top of the leaderboard with 327 points. Greg Bragg is second with 321. Corey Wiener is third. We're going to write those guys a lot of checks.
Yeah.
311. So he's pretty far back. He's 10 points back. This is surprising to me. I'm not going to lie. Please take this with the kick in the nuts that it is intended.
Okay.
Josh Cobb, fourth.
How?
At 299.
What? At $299?
$299.
And Corey's at what?
$311.
So we can catch Corey.
Well, as it is hard to get separation, it is also hard to gain.
Yeah.
But that was the design that Gene put into this, and that I had some feedback. And Chris Mortle is right on your arse with $292. Why the McMurray? Baja North, the Canadian. He is 286. John Slavic, 284. Elliot Slavic, 261. Trevor Harvey, 258. Jim Rossi, 256. Craig Spitz, because he doesn't show up to Silver Snake, which was the trophy like shootout or outlaws with extra starting points. He drops all the way back. 206. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11th place. Jason Crabtree, who, 188. And, wow. So Travis Williams actually is still kind of, is in this. He's going to be falling out of points. He's right behind Crabtree. Jerry Hurling, who only has one race. See, this is the deal. Jerry Hurling has done one race, but he finishes on the top five.
Yeah.
And he gets 111 points at that one race. And Travis only has 171 for the whole season. Right? So he's not out of it by any means. So, and then we have, oh my God, it's Jerry Hurling.
That's funny.
Yeah. Jerry Hurling, how are you, buddy?
Well,
we
were planning on having a calling guest today.
Oh, all right. I have that for you. I'll send it to you. I'm actually doing the podcast right now. I'm going to, I'll send this to you, but it'll be about an hour before I send it to you. We're doing the Wheel Travel podcast.
There we go.
All right. So I'll call you back as soon as this is over.
Ooh. All right, okay, so first trophy light finished 61st overall.
Yep. Yeah.
We got third in 7200.
Third in 7200.
I'm trying to figure out where the first 7200 truck finished.
Ooh.
Oh, it was here in steel.
Yeah. He could drive a little bit.
Yeah. He got 42nd overall.
Yeah. Well, we're fine. I mean, in a race like Silver State, that's pretty normal for us.
Yeah.
Let's get back to Laughlin. Let's get back to the, Perum. Let's get back to those kind of races. We do really well there. So, anyway, well, good. It was a great race. It was actually pretty cool up in Caliente and all that area. But
definitely got cold in there.
It was warm down the contingency.
Oh, yes, it was.
And we rented a house. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Because we had three rental trucks and we had a plethora of people. We had, I think, the most I counted working with us, for us, on us, by us, was like 41 people.
Jeez.
So pretty amazing, pretty cool that we're able to pull that kind of support. Even though our pits take too long, it's one of those things where we're really proud to offer the services at no charge, mind you, for fueling these trucks and stuff. We set up three pits, pit two, pit four, pit six, and if guys wanted, because this was a race that you could chase in a chase truck, but it would be really hard to make it to all of them and set up a pit, and then tear down, and then get to the next pit and beat your truck. And there was one pit where that wasn't even possible. You could not get from five to six.
Yeah, that's right.
So the trucks went over the mountain and down into six, and the chase vehicles would have to go through Caliente, which is 25 miles an hour all the way through, would have to go through Pachoki, or whatever the hell the name of that one town was, and then through the mountains, and then down into the valley, and then around the backside of the mountain, and then in 16 miles into the pit. So there was no way that they were making that. So they were able to just go from 5 to 7, and we handled the pitting at 6.
Right.
It was all cool. It was all really, really cool. I was proud of the teams, proud of everybody working together, proud of the guys. I had a UTV guy come over to me and say thank you for the trophy light that stopped to help pull him back over. Guys pulling people out of working together to get vehicles turned over, and it's just really cool. That's what it's all about. That's what the trophy light thing is all about, which is exciting. And then the weekend after that, no rest for the wicked. Daniel Race rented a truck and said, "Come on down." And he actually asked me to drive because that guy is the busiest. He's the hardest working guy in show business. He actually had 2 other race cars in which he had to race in.
He's a race hog.
Hog isn't the name I would use. I would say he's a race whore. He started in the trophy light, and we had to race against the
18
unlimited V6 trucks is basically what it was, and we had to race with those guys, and even though we were in our own class, but we were the only trophy light there, so we started after all of the 1850 trucks, and Daniel had passed all but 7 of them on the first lap, and then turned the car over to you. He got out of the car, you took off, he sat there for a few minutes, then the 1850 truck showed up on its third lap, and he did the next lap in the 1300, the 1850 truck.
Yes.
And then came back, got out, and got a class 11, and did the last lap in the class 11 car. The laps were 45 miles long. So he did 3 laps total.
In three different cars,
which is pretty amazing. I've done that. I'm off when I hopped out of my pro truck and hopped into Lee Finke's 10 car. And it took me a lap to get used to that thing. It was tough. Imagine doing that 3 times.
And especially going from, a truck
you've never driven.
Right. Into an unlimited truck. Into a class 11.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty amazing. And he can drive. When he came through the trophy light, first of all, he can eat a banana sideways because, he just has a big mouth. But he had such a wide smile. You could see it through his helmet, and he was so impressed with the truck. And then you hopped in, and you blitzed 2 or 3 more laps.
Yes.
And you actually finished 7th or 8th overall.
Yeah, 7th overall.
7th overall. That was really, really cool. Now, let's be very honest. There were some vehicles there that were way fast, but they only did 3 laps, so they're not eligible for the... There was a trophy truck there racing in the 1800 class, but they only do 3 laps.
Right.
So you did 4, so they're not eligible for the overall. So you were racing with...
1600, class 10, class 1. That class 1 did 4.
Yeah,
UTV.
Class 8.
Class 8.
Pro UTV.
7200.
Yeah.
7S.
Right, 7S. I think that's where 1850 does it, but 7S does.
Yeah.
Anyway, so congratulations on that. You won the class. You beat all those. There wasn't anybody else in the class. But
I won the class.
The 7th overall was pretty impressive. That game, it was fun to watch, and the excitement for that little truck, it was putting on a hell of a show. What was the track like?
That was the best course I've ever done.
Why?
It was different. I mean, we don't have anything like that up here.
What made it different?
So, take Laughlin, for example. There's a quarter mile of whoops at Laughlin, right?
Yeah.
The rest of it's flat.
Yep.
On this course, there was a quarter mile of flat.
It was the opposite.
And the rest of the course was whoops. And when you work, going over whoops, you're in corners through trees where, if you hang the rear tires over the berm, you're going to hit a tree, and there is no making a mistake on that course. Boulders,
There was everybody kept talking about the sand dune.
Yes. Yeah. It is just a sand dune. That's it. That's all it is. It's one sand dune connected to a mountain, and that's where the sand decided to pile up.
How is it 100 yards? If 100 yards was from here to across the dirt road, is it 500 yards? Is it a half a mile? How far, how long up it do you go? How tall is it?
300 yards.
300 yards?
It's
a lot of sand. So it's like going up Oldsmobile Hill or Summit Glass.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the problem is there's no run. You come out of it's more than 90 degrees. Probably like 120 degree corner that's looked out and rutted out, and you just put your foot to the floor in first gear and pray. And I was surprised because we got a 5-1600 car really struggling to get up it, and we went by hand like it was standing still. But I don't joke like that. No issues going on that thing. You just scream first.
I felt so bad for Jeff because I was texting him the whole race. And you know, Jeff's a competitor. He wants to know what's going on. And that's his baby. And he doesn't like the fact that it left his sight.
Yes.
So he's not happy about that to begin with. And we broke that drive line in testing.
Yeah, about 2 hours before the race?
Yeah, 2 hours before the race, we decided, let's go put some heat in the shocks and make sure everything works, and we'll take Daniel's co-driver for the ride. Oddly enough, Daniel did not want to drive the truck before the race. I thought that was weird.
Which he ended up doing anyway.
Which he ended up doing anyway on the way up there. And then, typical Mexico race, as we're making our way up to the start line, the little razor, we see the race truck go whizzing by. On the race course.
On the race course.
And he wasn't the only one. It looked like the race had started, but it hadn't. And so he goes whizzing by, and then in typical Mexico fashion again, he comes whizzing by the opposite direction, now going backwards on the course, and again, he wasn't alone.
Yes.
So it was total, utter chaos.
It was awesome.
And it was awesome. It was great. It's what racing used to be like. So they had a big car count. They had 200 cars probably.
Yeah.
And the other thing that was super cool about it is that the bikes were running at the exact same time, and they were running on the east side of the road.
I don't like that because, like, as a racer, I really wanted to watch the bikes.
I wanted to go watch the bikes too.
But you can't.
No.
Because you're racing on the side.
And while I was waiting for you to finish, I actually got a little sadness in my heart when I could hear them out there and see their one little headlight going on out there, and I could just see them. But it was cool that there was two races going on at the exact same time.
Yeah.
With it was cool. It was very neat for that. Okay, hats off to the Code guys. You put on a hell of a race. Really neat. There must have been, honestly, Josh, was there 20,000 people out there? I mean, there were vehicles everywhere. For 5 miles up the road, there was nothing. It was 10 cars deep.
Yeah, man, you could see.
Yeah, we could see.
They were just scattered everywhere. And it was weird because, so you would go through a section, and it's just packed with people. There's people all over the place. And then it's like that for a mile. And then all of a sudden, you turn the corner, and it's pitch black. And there's nobody there. And there's nobody cheering for you, and all you hear is the truck, and it's you get like an eerie feeling, you know, you don't know if you're going the right way, you know, but no, it was fun. When we came under the bridge the first lap, I mean, there was nowhere for you to go, I mean, other than the course. It was just people, just a sea of people.
That's so cool. They're so passionate. It's like Mexicans with they support Mexicans. It's like the Europeans with soccer.
Yes.
Or
the Europeans with motocross. They are passionate.
They are passionate. That's fine. They're just a passionate people.
Yeah.
We're spoiled.
Yes.
That's so sad. Anyway, so it was a great experience. So this week we're heading out to Mississippi. We're leaving Saturday. And Travis Pastrana has requested a couple of trucks that we're going to go, and he's going to jump. My understanding is that they're going to drift a rally car underneath it, jump the trophy light over the rally car, and then a dirt bike will be jumping all three of them. So that's happening. And then there was mention of pond skimming a truck, which if you haven't, go to YouTube and look up pond skimming. Travis was throwing a pond skimming where they actually are running on top of the water with these vehicles, which I would think that this would be the same. A trophy like pond skimming would be like me taking a Chevy V8 engine block and somehow managing to lift it up and dropping it on my toe. That would be the equivalent of trying to pond skim a trophy. Like,
yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
But anyway, so that's going on. Then when we get back from that, we've got a three-day driving school with six students. Special shout-out to Lewis Chamberlain who made that happen. And we just have a ton of stuff going on. Motocross starting this weekend. Hangtown. Who's going to win? Who's your bet?
Obviously, Eli's home after the 450s.
Well, hey, real quick, shout-out to Alex for doing a hell of a job getting your truck to the finish line, especially considering the fact that him and John Lewis were about to go for a really, really bad ride since there was no rear suspension left in your car.
There wasn't?
The brackets were torn out of your trailing arm.
Oh, that's right.
Brackets were torn out of your
arm. That's right.
The shocks weren't gone.
What?
No, the shocks were not gone.
The mount to the cab, to that plate, was peeled off.
Yeah, only half of the head of the bolt was holding it on to the truck on one side, and they had rotated 90 degrees flat.
Yes.
They rotated up to the point where the shock would allow them to rotate,
of course,
the Heim and the shock. So, holy crap, man. And not on one side.
No, it was both sides.
Yes. Both sides.
Yes.
So, anyway, we'll be sending you a bell for that.
Thank you, Alex.
I split with John, and I heard great things about John Lewis as a co-driver.
Yeah.
That might be being a little bit more set in stone. And a shout out to Scott McNeil, who rode with Joe Fios and talked him through that mobile. Alex did a great job of teaching him how to drive a trophy light on Thursday, and then Scott hopped in the car with him and did a fantastic job of talking him through the course. Joe said, "You wanted me to go in the dust, and I had no intention of going in the dust." Scott talked him through it. It was really cool. Mitch McNeil was there. In the end, to help, and it was great.
Yeah,
so Darren ran that team. Jason Crabtree, how about that guy coming in? His truck's not available. He doesn't take the weekend off. He comes out and he helps chip R3 trucks.
That's a real racer, right?
Daniel Reyes came in with his team of Mexicans, and they.
I didn't see Daniel all weekend.
So he showed up race morning. You had already gone to the line. And they skedaddled. You shockingly slept all the way back to Vegas.
Weird. I don't do that.
And then we had loaded up before you guys got back with the race cars and everything, and he was gone. So his uncle, get this, you want to talk about a true family man, but a true racer as well. His uncle dies on Thursday. I think kind of unexpected, and our thoughts are obviously with the family and everything. His uncle and that family is tight.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that was a big deal. He dies on Thursday. Daniel sends me a text and says, "I won't be able to make it. Friday, we're gonna bury my uncle." They bury his uncle on Friday. He drives all night long. He shows up at the start line on Saturday.
Jeez.
And he already has sent six people there to handle the pitting. He really didn't even have to be there, but he wanted to be there.
Right.
So, pretty amazing. Absolutely amazing. And then they sent us four Eggers. Four guys with their name Egger. So,
they're four of us, right?
For sure. They have to be.
They're just going to keep sending us Eggers.
it just Edgar. So we came into the pits and just started screaming Edgar, and we got a lot of stuff done.
Yeah. Hey, Edgar, Mexico, 2019. All right. The name Edgar is no longer available. It's like your username on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or any of that.
Edgar 25, Edgar 16.
Not how I have it.
No. Don't enter any. No nicknames, Edgar, no nothing. Matter of fact, next 5 years, there's a hiatus on Edgar.
Or, you know what?
I don't know. Nothing to Manuel and Jose, you know? There wasn't one out there.
I know how to fix this problem.
How's that?
For every person that wants to name their baby Edgar, it's like a $20 fee to the Mexican government, and they're going to solve their problem.
They would solve it. Game over. Well, cool. Now that we've beat those guys up publicly enough, let's see if they come back and hit for us again.
Yeah.
Daniel's fast. I was impressed with Daniel. I've been impressed with all those guys driving. They're starting to take over a store and start to do that kind of thing. But there's a reason why, and it's because they're good. So and I'm trying to back that a little bit. Be nice, but they really are good and so hospitable, and they would have let
very
fast tacos 25 in the world and just phenomenal people.
But it's funny, they did not seem like they wanted tacos as much as we did. And they're like,
we have access to them constantly, and we don't.
I know, but yeah, if I live down there, dude.
You weigh 600 pounds.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. You're like, feed me, move me into the bedroom with the forklift.
And bring me some carne asada tacos.
And you know, no guacamole, I don't like this. So, cool. Yeah. So, why don't we miss him with Jeff? And, then we come back, we do the driving school and the Baja 500. And then what? Do we have anything to say about that? Who knows?
No. We actually got a free weekend,
maybe. No, that free weekend, your mom and I are going to Idaho to pick up our stuff from Levitt Off Road. Mike Levitt Off Road. And so.
Wait, did you say you and mom are going?
Uh huh. You're more than welcome to.
No.
But we thought there'd be a party at the compound, and maybe you could ask some of your friends to talk on the mic when they're drunk for the podcast that I miss.
I will. We can make that happen.
Cool. All right. Well, what else you got?
Oh, wait, I want another more question.
Sorry. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you.
Sucker.
Okay. Obviously, Eli Tomei is going.
Is he racing outdoors?
Yeah.
For sure.
He's got it. I didn't really say he's racing outdoors, but, you know, where's like...
For some reason, I thought he did a Supercross only deal this year.
That was no way.
I hope I'm wrong.
Okay.
But I thought Eli Tomac was doing Supercross only. So, he is going to be extremely tough, for sure. Especially if he starts out strong. Even though that's not what happened in Supercross, he started out strong and then kind of disappeared. He got hurt for a couple of rounds, but almost came back and won. It was clearly the fastest guy. Won more races than anybody else times two. Almost won more races than all other combined.
Yes. He had to have won more than all of them combined. He had to.
Well, there's 16 rounds. Did he win 8?
Easily.
8 or 9?
For sure.
I think so.
For sure.
Oh my god.
For sure.
Totally tubular.
Alright, what do you think of 450?
I have to go consistency, and I have to go Marvin Muscat. My heart's with Kenny Roczen. I'd like to see Baggett do well. For some reason, and I told you this the last time we talked about it, if this was a movie, as I look down on this sheet, and I see, every time I see Justin Barsha's name written down or on a screen somewhere, it's highlighted to me in my eyes. I think for some reason he's standing out to me outdoors this year. Obviously, he had a great indoor season until he got Ivan on, until he had a Trichinar. But for I don't know. I think he's going to do well. But a betting guy is you've got to go Marvin Buscan if he's healthy. And so my top three finish at the year, end of the year, it's going to be I'm going to go Marvin Buscan, Eli Tomac, and Jason Anderson.
Ooh.
Those are my top three right now on the board.
Anderson.
I'm going to go Muscan, Tomac, Anderson, end of the year points, top three, with Baggett playing a factory. Stamp it!
Wow. Well, that's not going to happen. All right. That is no way.
Why?
Anderson. It seems like most guys are outdoor guys, and they just, you know, have to do Supercross. Anderson is a Supercross hitter. He's not great at outdoors.
You ain't got no hot.
But here's the real question. Because, don't get me wrong, 450s is going to be interesting with the return of Kenny Roczen. And
what did I tell you? I think Anderson is going to mail it in. I think he's done as that entertaining, on the edge of your seat rider that he used to be. Now that he's won this championship, I think
he's got a championship under his belt.
I think that's over.
He's done.
Mission accomplished. I think he's going to go the way of the dodo, and we will no longer hear about Jason Anderson other than the hype for the start of next year in Supercross. But I think having consistency outdoors is going to get him through on the podium.
See, I think he knows that he won the championship because
ahead of his
people were not healthy. I think he knows that. I think he wants to be the best guy out there. I think they all do. But I think he really wants to go out there and show them that, hey, it wasn't just a fluke that I won this thing. I think he's going to go out there and
I think he's still hung over from his partying after.
For sure. I'll show you the Transworld Motocross video of everyone out with Paula, and everyone's, you know, up and sweaty because they just got off the bike and they're happy. They interviewed Blake Baggett after he just got off the bike. I mean, there was not a bead of sweat on that guy. There was not.
That's not good. That's not good.
It was cold.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, he just used to have a conversation like this. And I imagine me doing a lap and getting off the bike.
Right. Give me a second.
Yeah, look at that. I hate something. this track needs more whoops. You know, it's just impressive to me. All right, real question. Who's going to win 250s?
The 450 one wasn't a real question?
It was, but it wasn't quite blood up my suit. I think 250s is the most entertaining thing right now.
Well, it has been for the past several years. I'm going to have to go with, it's going to come down to two riders. It's going to come down to Zach Osborne, and it's going to come down to Plessinger. And I'm going to take Zach Osborne.
Well, you're wrong.
He's a freight train.
Yeah.
He's a freight train.
He's like, he can't be a freight train. He's like 4'8".
This is like that game that Larry Mueller plays. That hypothetical road game thing that he plays on the Adam Carolla show, where there is no wrong answer. It's just his opinion on who he wants to ride with across the country. And every time he's wrong. You're making me wrong every single time.
Well, that's because you are.
How can I be wrong in my opinion?
That's wrong.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one, and they all stick.
See?
So who do you think's going to win? Mr. Crystal Ball.
Oh, Plessinger.
Oh, so I was way off within a second. Woo!
You were.
That was crazy.
You were.
Crazy talk. Okay.
It doesn't matter if you're off by, it's like math, dude. It doesn't matter if you're off by one or
two. What are you doing on math?
Well, math is math.
Well, what did you say?
I said math.
Oh, hey, my bad.
Yeah, oh, so, rock table, testing positive.
Hey, buddy. Yeah.
So,
the UPS guy isn't even here yet. Oh, I hope you guys are here for that.
Oh, well. So, rock table, test positive.
Cat 2.
Yes, again.
Again.
Test positive, again.
Four-year ban. Drop from KTM.
He's gonna fight it. He's gonna fight it.
Drop from Red Bull.
Drop Red Bull KTM. He's no longer affiliated with him.
How would either you're the ballsiest guy in the world, or you just have nothing to lose, which I think is the case for him. How do you fight it if you know you've been found twice with it?
No. I think it was the same sample, just
retested. Okay, again, you're not supposed to have it in your system. You've been found twice with it. How do you fight that?
He said that he did not take anything that he wasn't supposed to, and...
How do you prove that?
From the sample, testing the sample, which they found guilty.
Will he be able to test the sample? Will he be able to take it to his own labs and test it?
My guess is no. But the interesting thing is he has not seen any documentation on the sample.
Oh, here he goes. Here's on track. We'll call this play-by-play.
Guys, he's turning the volume down. Turn the volume down.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
No.
Hey. They're enticing them.
Who's here? Get him. It's on. Wait till he goes to the door. I want to take the mic in there. So, yeah, that's not doing anything. So, the guy's getting out of here. Oh, he's at the wrong house! So he drove on down, but he's totally confused, grabs his donut as his woody, and he drives off. Oh, baby, sorry, buddy. I'm sorry, we got you all fired up.
No,
nowhere to go.
Oh, that is awesome.
Oh my gosh, he'll be back. He'll find out that he's at the right house.
Yes. Also, Alex Gray. Dylan Ryder for Yamaha.
Yeah.
Josh Grant missing opening rounds of motocross due to a leg injury.
Okay.
Austin Forkner. No, not Austin Forkner. Austin Forkner's hurt when he's hoping to make the start of the motocross season. But Martin
Dolos.
And
the oldest man in 2 weeks. With 5 million starts.
He's going to break the record for oldest win, and it won't even be on a 450.
How about that? That's crazy.
I
don't think so, because John Gaff has to be the oldest, and he was way old. He was like 106 when he won. And he's still riding.
Wow.
He's still winning. Like, large amateur races, he's still winning.
Really?
Yeah. He kept his national number forever. He's amazing. John Dow's amazing. He's the Mike Brown of motocross.
Mike Brown's like 56.
And that's amazing because Mike Brown was the Mike Brown of motocross.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was all motocross before. And then when he got too old for motocross, he went to off-road where he started a whole new career that lasted forever. Still going on,
yes.
And he was a champion, which is amazing. But
so, Martin Dalos, and Adam Ciancerulo,
yep,
out full season. Not racing motocross, nor turn
Timbercross 19. All right. Yes. 19. What year? 18.
This is 18.
Come on.
19. So I find this weird. Geico Honda switches all to the shit MS. Christian Craig, the fourth fifth year rider on the team.
Yeah.
Goes to Fox.
You know why?
Money?
Honda. Factory Honda.
Is he going to factory Honda?
He is the factory Honda backup for the rest of the year, right?
Oh.
And Honda and Fox are married. So that's that. So I think Alias or
yes, yes.
I think they're going out of deals. I think they're out of money. So I think that's why they were able to do a gear shift in the middle of the year. Like, see what I did there? Gear shift, and they went to shift gear.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I'm so good at this. It's not even fun. I don't even try, and it just flows out of my mouth. It's amazing. But so I think that's why they were able to do that. And I hope that's not true. I hope there's another reason. But maybe their just contract is up or something like that. But I think that's what I heard. The Fox thing is definitely a factory Honda thing. And since Christian Craig is, even though it still says Geico on it, he is the backup 450 Honda rider for the year.
Oh, speaking of outdoors, do you have your season gold pass?
Yes, I do. Does Ken Roxon do anything outdoors?
Yes.
Or does he ride like the scared little bitch that he did in Supercross?
Yes. He does, and somehow manages to get a win.
He doesn't win. You know what? I'm gonna almost take that back. He did ride like a scared little bitch. But here's what I'm gonna take back. How hard would it be for that guy? Every time he lines up on the start line and he's looking up at the big screen, watching the video clips and everything, all they ever show of Ken Roxon is his crash.
Yes.
Every Fox goggle commercial. They're showing his reconstruction of his arm and the workouts that it would take to come back from that. And then AMA Feld is running these images of what a remarkable story for this guy to come back. He was going to lose his arm, and now he's back racing at the highest level. He has to watch this constantly.
Yeah.
There's a constant reminder of his failure and his excruciating break. And the fact that the guy's even riding at all is amazing, but honestly, I mean, it's a crock of crap that they put him through that and expected him to be okay mentally. Eventually, it just took his toll, and eventually he was a soothsayer because it became true.
Right.
You know? So, I don't know, I feel bad for the guy because I don't think they should do that. I think they should talk about the guy's positive stuff. They did the same bullshit to Chad Reed. You know, I'm not a huge Chad Reed fan, but you know, when he was doing so well in 16 or whatever on the Honda, and then he had that huge crash where he broke his leg or whatever, all they did was replay that, and he was trying to overcome that. And I understand that that's part of the drama of the sport, but don't show it to the guy right before he lines up and hits an 8-foot triple, you know, with 19 other guys pissed off behind him.
Yeah.
You know, that's stupid. And it's such a mental game anyway. They really got to rethink through that. I don't know. Just ridiculous, but super excited that it's here. Couldn't happen fast enough for me. I wish the season lasted all year. Josh and I made the proclamation. We hope you all join us. You're all invited, all four of you. We're going to Red Bud for the Motocross of the Nations October 7th. Somehow, some way, if we have to take a Greyhound, if I have to ride on the back of any, we're getting there somehow.
Can you rent a horse? Or is that a thing?
Would ask Jean next door.
That's a good point.
And shoe us something with maybe some Nikes.
Nikes?
Or some Adidas or something.
Yeah, I won't
mind that. A lot of pavement stuff for us. No trails.
Yeah.
And then
pretty much all pavement.
We just hit the open road to Buchanan, Michigan.
Yeah. Let's start now.
We would have to. We would have to. Hey guys, we're checking out. We'll check in from the road.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this podcast is going on 8 hours and 15 minutes. Oh, it only feels like 8 hours. An hour and 15 minutes. I got a ton of shit to do tonight. So, and I got to get back with Jerry Herling, who we were just talking about in the call. That was funny. And I wish I had the ability to put him online. I would have put him on the spot right then and there. But I
don't. You just held the phone to the microphone.
I should do
that. It probably doesn't like that, though.
Well, we did that before. That's how we did phone calls before. But we have to invest some money into this thing, and we don't have any money, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we invest some money?
No stereo for you.
Until maybe my race truck before we invest in the podcast.
Let's not break it. We'll see what happens.
Alex broke it.
Alex broke it. That's true. You know what? Get some money from him.
I will.
Good for you. All right. So for Super Protector and Guardian to All at the compound, Vinny, my buddy.
Hey, boo-boo. My boobie.
And Josh Kopp. I'm Jason Kopp, signing off from the compound. This is Wheel Travel Show number 20. Oh, hey, real quick, shout-out to Roland McGee.
Why?
Well, he raced while we were gone here in Arizona. He stayed here at the house while we were gone. And
where did he race at?
Wow, we were almost done with this. We were almost out, and now we're back in. He raced down in Tucson, and he came here to see his grandfather, and who lives out here, which now I'm a little upset that he's not here more, knowing that his grandfather's here. But whatever, I'm not here to judge or pound on the kid too much. But anyway, he comes out. They did a really bitching deal between him and Artec.
Mm-hmm.
Skid Plates. Yeah. You know everybody out there?
Yeah, Artec Industries.
Yep, absolutely. And Armando
Verdugo.
He's such a great guy. Anyway, they did this thing where Armando put this program together where they got a ride for a veteran with Ron in the
that's
race.
Right.
So they bring the guy in and they go over how to get out of a car and how to help do a tire change and how to do this and how to do that. And Roland's rear end blew up 6 miles into the race.
No way.
Yeah, kind of a bummer.
Oh.
Kind of a bummer. But the guy did say it was the best 6 miles of his life.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, said it was great.
Oh, well, maybe you should ride the trophy line.
Yeah, go set. So wow. Anyway, shout out to him. Shout out to Rich and Shelly, who were here on Monday, and they put on a hello show down there. Said it was hot. But had a good show and a great course, and it was great that they stayed with us for a couple of days. And then I tried to break Shelly's nose.
Yes.
I launched
one of these donuts.
Rich and I came back from a trip and I thought Shelly went with him out to their trailer. And I kicked one of these donuts from my office through the living room into the dining room. And
except it didn't make it to the dining room.
Shelly's face got right in the way of my beautiful kick. Matter of fact, I'm pissed off. She shouldn't be mad. I'm mad. I'm mad that she blew such a great kick and it hit her square in the link between your eye and your nose, right in that area on her left side, and just lit her up. And I felt so flipping bad. I felt horrible. And Rich is, I go out and I tell Rich, I'm like, hey, dude, I think you need to come inside. And he's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I hit Shelly with a donut. I kicked it into her face. He's like, you what? And I'm like, I kicked the donut into her face. Now, as he's walking rapidly to the house, he asked me, how the hell did you do that? And I said, I don't know. I couldn't do it if I tried. And I said, I think she tried to block my kick. And I was joking, and that didn't go very well. And then he asked me, did she cry? And I said, well, yeah, she cried. I lit her up. I've got a thunderous right foot. And, you know, four-time scoring champ of the 30 and over indoor soccer league. I have a thunderous right foot, I'm rocked her, bam, right in here, and yeah, of course she cried, no man could put up with that, and she's tougher than any man that I know, and he's like, we're in trouble, and he knew right away that there was going to be hell pay, and, yeah, but, listen, I think Rich was more concerned about having to explain the black eye, because everybody would think that it was him.
Of course.
So, I, you know,
Adam or against the man.
Right. You know, and I think she's considering maybe pressing charges against him for battery. You know, that's her out. She's been looking for an out for all these years, and I gave it to her. So, you know what? You're welcome. No?
Perfect.
I felt so bad for her. She's so awesome. She said, you said it best. Really, Dad? You kicked the nicest person on the planet in the face? Great. And I did. And I just lit her up. But
could you imagine if, like, her and Craig Spitz were in the same room?
All the two nicest people on the planet?
It would be like living in... When I imagine living in Canada, it's like...
No, here's what it would be like. Nobody would move.
No.
That's right. Exactly. They'd open the door. The door would be open. Every fly in the world would fly in because no one would walk through the door because they'd be like, after you. No, I insist. After you. After you. No, really. After you. After you. Oh, I'm sorry. After you. No. Don't be sorry. After you.
I'm sorry.
It's so true. They're so great. They're such great people. I'm sad to see Craig go, and I was sad to see Shelly go, even with tears in her eyes. I'm so sorry, Shelly. From the bottom of my heart. Oh, hey, I wanted to talk a little bit about the house, too. Why are you so eager to get done with the podcast and have things to talk about? What? See, when you were chatty the whole beginning of the thing, I couldn't get this stuff in. So we had a house. We did an Airbnb. So,
For Silver State?
No.
You had your time in the Silver State section.
No, we're coming back. We can revisit it. Get your own damn show.
I have one. Oh. It's right here.
Okay, you're right. So, the description on this house reads, on Airbnb, Las Vegas mansion sleeps six. So,
what did I...
Or, 26.
Yeah, sleeps 26.
Sorry. Las Vegas mansion sleeps 26. I told Gretchen, because the hotel rooms are by far our biggest expense for these races that we do with these rental customers and stuff, and she's like, okay, I'll look into the Airbnb, but how do you, I don't want to get two houses that are not next door to each other, or I mean, how do we do that? I said, I don't know, but figure it out. She gets online and she finds, I don't know how she does this stuff, but she found it online, house that sleeps 26, headlines, Las Vegas mansion sleeps 26. So, down below, this is what's listed in the house. Mini putt-putt course, badminton course,
wait,
volleyball course,
all three of those are true.
Court,
all three of those are true.
Hang on, let me finish. Volleyball court, horseshoe pits,
also true.
Entertainment stage,
also true.
Hookah lounge,
also true.
Three bars,
also true.
Fully stocked kitchen.
By us?
Theater room.
Also
theater
true.
/ projector room.
Also true.
Large flat screen TV.
Also true.
Swimming pool.
True.
Two jacuzzis.
I only saw one.
In the description. But, okay, so halfway.
Okay, so
ping pong table.
No, not true.
Yeah, they have the same ping pong setup we do. Out back, there was a board leaned up against the house that goes on top of the pool table.
Oh, really?
Yes.
They never put it on?
No.
Oh.
Why? Because we had the beer pong court. Right? That was there?
Yes.
The beer pong table?
Yes.
Was out back, set up, in full effect?
Okay, yeah.
Laser light show?
No.
Also true?
Was it really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Premium sound system.
For where?
Okay. Sleeps 26, upstairs desk.
Also true.
Maybe more.
It's definitely sleeps more.
Okay, so here's the explanation to all of this.
Okay, so wait, I gotta take over at this point. Okay, so the volleyball, racquetball, putt-putt course, and the horseshoe court, whatever you want to call it, that was all the same thing. Just, there was a net up, and you had to putt-putt around.
What used to be the front yard.
Oh, in the front yard, yes. Not like hidden in the backyard.
No, what used to be, because was there an ounce of grass?
No.
Was there an ounce
yeah,
of
anything? No living grass, but there was grass. dead grass, lots of dead grass.
But lots of dirt.
Lots of
dirt. Visible dirt. Not dirt underneath the the roots.
Lots of visible dirt.
Okay. What was the pop-up course made out of? How many holes?
I think there was like three or four holes.
I saw three.
And it was pretty much like a buried solo cup in the ground.
Half hole. So
yes.
You would have to chip into it. You'd have to have a basketball shot to get it into the cup.
Yes.
Half hole, solo cup.
Yeah.
In the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Pop-up course.
Yeah. So,
listen, jackass. Just because you stole a couple of clubs and those plastic goddamn golf balls from a putt-putt range at your local mall does not mean you have a putt-putt course in your fucking house. Sorry, go ahead.
So there was a large flat screen TV.
Yes, did it ever work?
No, never worked.
Did anything ever come on it that resembled a human outline, a motorsport, a baseball, anything other than snow? And the words not connected to Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that came across a lot.
how about the projector room?
The projector room,
I actually saw images in the projector room because Darren hooked up his new Moto phone to it.
No, Darren used his projector addition to his phone. He didn't turn on the projector.
Oh, you're shitting me. Seriously?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even know that. So that was self-supplied projector.
Yes, self-supplied projector. In we put the guy
because we travel with projector.
Wait, we put the guy with the projector in the projector room.
He had to call it. He must have. We're not that good. We're not that good. Our audio video specialist is put in the projector room. We're not that good.
Yeah.
Pool table. Explain the pool table.
Oh. So divide it into thirds. And. Your first third is leaning to the left. Your middle section is leaning to the right. And the last section is also leaning to the left, while the whole table is slanted down.
And the material that was the bottom over the slate, on the bottom of the
table, it's grease and...
It's like a burlap. It's like playing on a burlap sack.
Yeah.
It was very, very... coarse, very broadened up and increased in set. Almost like, well,
like there was one time I hit a shot, it stopped the cue ball. Stop it. Just that was a great shot.
Yeah, I was headed right
now. Look at some beautiful lead.
The table was so bad. And it was funny, too, because there was no bounce off of the bumpers at all, except for, like, three spots on the table. And then it was, like, electrified. It was, like, boing!
Yeah, you're, like, ducking cover.
Yeah, exactly.
There were three bars.
There should have been three bars over the windows.
Yes.
But,
yeah, the bars, there's nothing in them. You have to kind of move everything over to them if you wanted to use them.
Again. A table set up in the corner with the outline rings of where wet cans were set on top of it is not a goddamn bar.
I don't know, a little budget bar. You know?
That's a table that nobody cleaned.
Yeah.
It's a lifetime table from Costco.
It does 3.6 if you have 18 people sleeping on the floor.
Okay, the premium sound system. Let's talk about this.
I never saw that.
Okay, there was a stick that stood in the corner. Actually, it was between, it was right below the wood thing with the that made the United States, and every state had a bottle cap in where, so as you, if you are from Wyoming, you're supposed to put a bottle cap in from Wyoming until they fill the whole thing up.
Right.
So, right below that was this thing that was about the size of round of a softball. And it had speakers in it, and it stood on top of a plastic cup. So it stood upright.
Right.
And you could plug your iPod into that. And it also had a receiver into it where it could pick up radio stations. That was the premium sound system. And then on top of it, that shot out of the top was the laser light show.
Hold on. What?
There was a laser light show that was no different than the cheap ones that I have from Quartzsite. And I play on the side of the RV. That's what it was, though. That was the light, laser light show.
Wow.
The hookah lounge was a couch that you slept on the first night.
Second night.
Race night
before
the race. That's right. So there was, you slept on it. It was a round couch, and it just so happens that they had a round table, so it looked like the inside of Genie's bottle. And they had a hookah thing, which looked to be a nice one. I don't know if it would throw down,
yeah,
but it looked to be nice. In the corner that you picked up and sat on the round table and everybody sat around, that was the hookah lounge when you put the thing on top of the table. That's where you slept.
Yeah.
That was also the living room.
Yes.
So not a hookah lounge.
No.
You can't just put shit on top of a table and then say it's a different room.
Yes. I wouldn't necessarily call that a mansion, would you?
Okay, so it is so much not a mansion by our definition. However, I did look up the definition of mansion. Actually, why don't you look it up and read it verbatim, because I don't want to screw this up.
All right.
But there actually, the second description of the word actually applies. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the upstairs.
Okay, hold on.
The upstairs, hang on, this is pertinent to the story. The upstairs was clearly an attic. It was just shy of a ladder being stuck through a hole in the ceiling.
Yes.
Very, very sharp, straight up stairs. You go upstairs, and you can tell the rooms that were built at different times because some of them, the floors were springy, like a trampoline, and other ones, they were rock solid, and other ones, you were ready to fall through at any moment. And you could actually see from underneath in the pool room the guys walking around upstairs. It was friggin' awesome.
Working for their, the indents of their feet.
Their feet were, yeah. You could actually see how many toes they had on each foot. And Gretchen and I
loved them. John Lewis was missing a couple.
I would have thought a motorcycle accident, but as it turned out, he was born that way. It's a freaky deal.
Weird.
Gretchen and I decided to sleep on these mega cots outside on the balcony. And I have a story about that.
That is a story for a different show.
Hey, that's your parents. That's gross. No, it's not. It's great. But that's not the story I want to tell, though. Go ahead. What's the definition of?
All right. So, first definition of mansion is a large, impressive house.
Impressive? This was not.
And it did impress me in the opposite way. You know? Or a manor house, or a large building divided into apartments.
There we go. So now this somehow falls into a mansion category because upstairs was seven rooms, and they all had beds in them, and then some had beds on floors, and it was crazy. It was, you know what? If the guys in Hollywood spent $1 million to build a movie prop of a frat house. That's it, right?
For sure.
I mean, it was the epitome of a frat house, bachelor pad, that kind of thing. It was great. It was actually really cool having everybody stand there. Oh, by the way, the two jacuzzis, one was a blow-up jacuzzi that was right below the kitchen window, or the hookah lounge window.
Yes, I saw that one.
And the other one was part of the pool up in the top. The pool was actually the only nice-looking thing in the house. But however, the wall that was above, the wall that was kind of framing in the pool was cracking. And then when you looked from the second story, you looked up on top of that wall, that was the yard of the guy behind you. So the guy... If the guy behind you walked out to the edge of his property,
you could see his ankles.
You would be looking at underneath his feet, and you'd be looking up at the bottom side of his hat and up his shorts, because he'd be standing above you in a godlike position.
Yes, or a Las Vegas mansion neighbor backyard.
Exactly. So, real quick story, and then we'll let you know. So, Gretchen and I, on the second night, we have marveled that nothing has been stolen, nothing has been graffiti. Nothing has been shot, stabbed, whatever. So Reed goes off. This is race night, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Leading up to race night. Reed goes off, and we're in one big mega cot, and we hear something. And then the dog next door starts barking. This is 11:30 Friday night. Dog started barking. Not like Vinny and the UPS guy, but more like, hey, I need help. Hey, somebody pay attention to me. Hey, Timmy's stuck in the well. Hey, you know, it wasn't that ferocious defending myself bark. It was a, hey, you, hey, you, hey, you, right? It was a cadence. There was a cadence to it.
Right, because we had the dog whisperer here.
Right. So I'm one with one dog, and that's this dog right here. It's my
boy. No, oh, which makes people. Sense. You know, he's a pussy.
Whoa. Don't go there. Don't go there. We'll have a wrestling match right on top of this
podcast. Hi, baby.
He has a press. I am a CFOs. Anyway, so we're like, man, that dog won't shut up. You know, we're doing a Seinfeld, you know, laying, cleaning out the window, yelling at the dog, shut up. Nothing. So then a cop car comes screaming into the neighborhood, lights on, siren on, up and down the street. And we can see the lights. Keep in mind, we're on the second floor, so we can see over the houses in front of us. And then we can see the lights from the cop car reflecting off of the houses on streets over, right? So he's going up and down the street looking for somebody. And he's in a hurry.
Boy, come out. Then wasn't this deck supposedly like 360 degrees?
360 degree deck.
Was it?
Not even close. There was nothing on the north side of the house, and it was uninhabitable on the.
Hey, guys, stop.
Uninhabitable on the west side of the house. So it was more like a 90 degree deck.
Awesome. Okay.
So anyway. So then, as the cop leaves the area, we see somebody run across a yard in the dark, like hunkered down, running across a yard and into the darkness. And then the car comes in across the street. He starts honking. Honk, 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 honk. Nobody. Keep in mind, the whole time, this has been now 45 minutes, the dog is still barking. The guy's honking across the street. We have the guy that runs across, the cop car with the siren.
Chasing the guy that's
probably running across, hunkering down.
Yes.
So then, the guy honking across the street, somebody inside turns the lights on, so he stops honking. Then they don't show up soon enough, so he starts honking again. Then they turn the outside yard lights on. Then he stops honking. Then they don't want to open up the gate soon enough. Then he starts honking again. And then they open up the side RV gates, and he pulls the car into the back. And then they close these big metal RV gates, and then lock it. Put a padlock. Yeah. A chain around. You can hear the chain going through the metal bars. You know? So then they go to the front door and they chain up the front security door just like they did with a chain.
Yes, and chains.
Crazy. And then a car pulls in at the end of the street, and as soon as he pulls into the driveway, people that were hidden in the driveway scatter, and then the people that were in the car that pulled into the driveway get out of the car and scatter after those people. And that vehicle never left, and the next morning it was still there. I don't know what that means. So then, after the dog is still going nuts, this is 2 hours later, a guy quickly walks down the street, nervously, with a limp. I don't know why every criminal has a limp, but nervously down the street, walking around the streetlights, down the street, and out of the way. It was right out of a movie. It was, have you ever seen the movie Big, where he gets the apartment by himself and his first night alone, there's like gunfire and there's, you know, people fighting out on the street and
There's you know, people next door yelling and screaming and.
Well, yeah, when it wasn't in like the nice apartment, you.
Yes. Yeah, his first apartment.
Yes.
Yeah, it was that. So, anyway, it was great fun. It was if you ever have the opportunity to get a big house with your whole team.
Oh, wait.
A tremendous amount of fun.
I'm sorry. Last thing before we go, but there's like rule sheets all over the house, you know, saying the rules of the house. And on the bottom is a paragraph, and that paragraph mentioned that, oh, by the way, if any of the neighbors come over, or if the cops show up, tell them that we're friends and you're just staying there for the weekend or until I get back.
And why is that, Mac? Mac was the owner's name.
Because Airbnbs are illegal in Las Vegas.
Hey, you that's spending thousands of dollars with me.
Hey, Mrs. Cobb, we're right in the middle of a podcast. Can I call you back? Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Hey, you who's spending thousands of dollars with me in deposits and rental fees and everything, by the way, this is highly illegal, and we're going to need you to keep it on the DL.
Yeah.
If you run into any of my neighbors.
Yeah. Said we're friends. Here's the number you give them.
Yeah. Here's my... Tell our friends, here's my number. It's me or Bill, and we'll catch you later. Hope you have a good time. Enjoy the house.
Yeah.
And here's my... There's towels upstairs for you. It was crazy. It was crazy. It was a good time.
Would you stay there again?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It had... Vegas written all over it. It was awesome. Anyway. All right. For Super Vinny... For the key and touch God, for the town of women, and the conference. This is Jason Cobb signing off for edition number 20 of the Wheel Travel Podcast. If you have been doing them every week, this would have been edition 50, but it's not. I'm sorry, we'll edition. Anyway, signing off. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.